Blog Talk Radio.
Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from a little wet Southern California, but I'm loving this rain as it cleanses the air and brings all this greenery and flowers to be seen. I just love it. And I'm so glad you could visit us today with your energy. We have a really terrific show for you tonight. Susan Barbara Apollon, intuitive psychologist and author of this really, really terrific book called Touched by the Extraordinary. Susan's going to share her insights, lessons, and true stories of spirit and love with us tonight. So stay tuned to this fantastic show. Let me introduce you to this incredible new magazine called The Edge. This monthly publication explores humankind's greatest truth of self-empowerment through the evolution of consciousness, alternative healing, and the experience of an authentic life through holistic living. Fortunately for us, it's now online as the Digital Edge magazine, in which we can access the complete printed edition on screen. Go there, bookmark it, and keep going back, because The Edge is a valuable resource in sharing leading edge wisdom. It's also my favorite. So visit The Edge at soulofthecities.net. That's soulofthecities.net. Come aboard to Law of Attraction Radio Network's Cruise to Transformation 2010. The last cruise was so powerful, we wanted to bring forth the energy once again to heal and completely transform you into being the magnificent manifester that you are here to be. We have 8 exceptional interactive workshops that will heal you, transform you, and give you great insight to your authentic self. Dee Wallace is returning by popular demand, as well as the most incredible and documented energy healer, Amin Habib, who transforms and emits powerful healing energy to us all. We have law of attraction experts, EFT experts, relationship experts, and hypnosis experts, ready to help you to transform your life. So come along and enjoy this most affordable and luxurious event. This 4-night cruise is May 31st through June 4th out at the Port of Long Beach. Visit the cruise page at loaradionetwork.com. Think you can't afford this? Oh, yes, you can, because you are a magnificent manifester. See you on May 31st. Well, hey, let's talk about the cruise, because it's coming up. I want to mention that we have a new workshop on the cruise. This is another great reason why you should come. Marilyn Kapp is coming aboard, and she is known to be the medium to the Hollywood stars. Her specialty is all about feeling the energy of a loved one who has transitioned. You know, I have experienced her talents, and I've concluded that beyond a shadow of a doubt, Marilyn is as accurate, if not more, than John Edwards. I was absolutely amazed. As a matter of fact, she is coming on my show in a few weeks. Of course, she does other great things as well, but if you want to participate in her interactive workshop and perhaps deal with some old grief issues or just touch base with a loved one, then by golly, you need to sign up right now. The deadline to sign up with our low rates is February 12th. All you need to do to secure your place is just pay the deposit. Then you can pay in full by April 1st, and we are all set to go. You can still sign up after February 12th, but I just can't guarantee you the same low rates or the smooth sailing rooms. It's a Memorial Day week, so it's going to fill up, so you need to sign up right away. Just go to loaradionetwork.com and find the cruise page. Check out the cabin rates and all of the incredible life-changing workshops. Now, if you were to go to each workshop on its own, it would cost you about $1,400 just for the workshops. And when you come on the cruise, you get all of the workshops plus luxurious accommodations, plenty of playtime at Catalina Island and Ensenada, and you get the opportunity to completely transform yourself. You can release all that emotional hang-ups that have kept you stuck and kept you in your current situation. So come play with us. Transform with us. Go to loaradionetwork.com and check out the cruise page. Sign up, pay your deposit, and pay the rest before April 1st. Then you are set to go. So I look forward to meeting you all on May 31st. By the way, when you visit the Law of Attraction Radio Network page, notice that we are now broadcasting through smartphones and TiVo. Look for the link for the mobile applications. Remember to put Law of Attraction Radio Network as a preset, and then you can listen to all of the network shows streaming in through one media device. Also, look for the link for VIP membership to Live 365. You really get some worthwhile benefit as a VIP for your mobile phone listening pleasures. And for those who don't like the change, that's quite all right. Each of our hosts still have the archives available, so you can listen live to their shows through their host show page, or you can download it to your iPods or your computer and listen to all of their shows. Either way, our expansion is here to make listening an easier experience for you. After all, the listeners are what keep me going, so keep tuning in and we will keep expanding for you. Now, I mentioned Marilyn will be on in a few weeks, but I want to let you know that, and I'm so thrilled about this, that my dear old friend Lee Harris, who channels Zachariah, Zachary, and Ziadora, is coming back to talk to us about 2010 and what we can expect. You know, I just love this guy. So join us for another incredible show on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Okay, on with tonight's show. Susan Apollon is a practicing psychologist for the last 20 years, specializing in life-threatening illness, trauma, and grief. She is a researcher of mind and consciousness and healing, and author of three books, Touched by the Extraordinary, Intuition is Easy and Fun, and her newest book, Touched by the Extraordinary, Book 2. Susan teaches that everything is energy and that everyone are born with certain gifts, which, when harnessed, enable them to have the peace and well-being they desire. Now, as a researcher and student and master of numerous energy modalities, Susan believes in the healing power of the energy of love and gives her patients exactly what they need for their own self-healing. Of course, the Law of Attraction plays a very integral part in her work and teaching. Many of you have already seen Susan on television or heard her on the radio or read her many articles in the newspapers and magazines. Welcome, Susan, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure to talk with you. So thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure, because I absolutely love this book. It seems like it covered everything, but what I really like in particular is that you put in a lot of scientific aspects to this, and so you could see where this is really the up-to-date
understanding of energy and of metaphysics. I really love that.
I wanted to do that. I wanted to give an overall view for people who are not familiar so that the stories were substantiated by scientific material. That was important to me.
So are you what many would consider to be an energy psychologist?
Actually, I do energy work in my practice. Where I feel it's appropriate, I teach my patients some basic energy tools to assist them when they need better coping skills. I like over the time that I work with people to help them have what I call a bag of tools. And those tools sometimes are behavioral, sometimes they're cognitive, and sometimes they're very energy basic. And so, yes, I will teach, you know, where on the body to tap, what to visualize or think or say while they're doing it, because there are key points in the body. Your cells, you know, right off the bat, you know, to all of the people who listen to you and listen to me as we speak, I look at the body with a team approach, because I do a lot of work in helping people with significant illnesses to help them heal themselves. And in order to do that, you need to recognize that you and your body are one. You know, in addition to being a part of the oneness, if you can recognize you're one. So I know we have about 60 trillion cells. It might even be a higher number at this point. But each of those cells are highly intelligent beings in their own way. Each has really comparable all the organs of the body. And so we can't fool them. And, well, we can, but we can't. We can make that work on behalf of ourselves. But they are fully aware of what we are experiencing. So when we learn how to harness how we harness the gifts with which we are born, which include the gift of your ability to image or imagine. Einstein said imagination is much greater than knowledge. It's far more important. When you harness that with your breath, and you will harness it with an understanding of how your body works, you can manifest good health. And so energy is important to understand. And if you can learn where in the body you can tap or touch while you are saying and visualizing certain things, your cells will experience the vibration of what you are saying. It will be translated chemically, but the touch also will start to open up various energy centers so that there will be an increased flow of energy.
We all know that energy can help you heal physically, but you are saying that you can go beyond that and it can help you emotionally.
Of course it can. Yes, definitely. You know, we're pure energetic beings. Every thought that we have, every thing we visualize from the time we're born and we cannot speak, but we take our whole environment in through imagery, through our eyes, through what we can feel, touch, taste, and so forth, all of that is translated. And so it's pure energy. And what we need to learn is what I was referring to a few moments ago, is how to recognize the impact of how we're interpreting the world on our body. And so the bottom line is, and I'm trying to answer your question dealing with energy here for everybody who's listening. Bottom line is, because we're talking about the law of attraction, I mean, that's really what drew me to you and you to me. We are energetic beings, and whatever I am focused on at this very millisecond, that is where I am energetically. So if I'm focused on something that is of a, and everything vibrates, everything is pure energy and vibrates as particles of we are particles of and waves of light energy. So what we have learned scientifically, thanks to some wonderful scientists, is that everything vibrates at a different level. And energetic emotions, when you're feeling frightened or worried or anxious or tense, you're vibrating energetically. Your whole body, every cell in your body, has a vibration that is very low. That's why we talk about how when people are depressed, when I'm doing an assessment, and I'll ask questions that will determine for me how low energetically somebody is. Are they tired, or they're not doing what they love? Are they sad? Are they crying? Are they angry? Or are they impatient? Are they frustrated? That tells me they are extremely low vibrationally. You're focused on something joyful, your dreams, your hopes, you know, what makes your heart sing. You vibrate at a very high level. And so there, it's sort of like if you have a continuum, at the bottom is despair and grief and anger, and at the top is the emotions of joy, love, gratitude, all the wonderful things. And that is what's going to determine what we will attract to us. Wherever we are on that continuum is what we will attract to us of the same vibration. So if I'm low, I'm going to sort of internally and externally experience low vibratory experiences. I'll probably have more illness. I'll probably have more accidents. I'll probably have more loss. If I am focused on what brings my, it's my passion, what I love, then I'm going to attract to me equally high vibratory experiences, all the things that I'm actually hoping and dreaming for. That's how it works.
You had mentioned evaluation for depression, and I keep on thinking that sometimes those labels are what keep people stuck. If we could substitute the labels and just focus on the energy scale of how low they are or how high they are, then that would probably speed recovery up, wouldn't it?
It does, Jules, and that is what I do. My intention is, I don't like labels. I have to put them down for reimbursement from insurance companies and so forth, but I try not to work with them. I try to, my goal is to expedite healing by helping people become really aware of what it is that they are experiencing that's contributing to their feeling down or sad or anxious or worried. And in that way, if they can become conscious of what's going on, what they're always going over and over in their mind, what irrational thoughts they're thinking, and they, as they become aware of that, they realize, oh, I can change that. Or I've got some tricks that I can do that to manage and turn things around, and suddenly they start to feel better, and they realize their energy has shifted because they shifted in what they were thinking about energetically. They shifted from a lower place to a higher place. It's very powerful. I love helping people see how easy this is. This is not difficult.
As a psychologist, how can you help patients intuitively?
I've been studying intuition now for 15, 16, 17 years. And so I have an awareness now of how simple it is for me just to do my breath work, and I teach breath as a huge part of my work with everybody. And I can shift very easily from wherever I am while I'm working with somebody, and they don't even know I'm doing it. I tell them later. And I can just start shifting up and just ask to receive what I need to help the individual with whom I'm working. So I am shifting intentionally, because intention does create our reality. It's a very powerful energy. And I intend, with just by breathing deeply and giving myself some direction, to move up and just say, give me what I need, higher intuitive guidance. I'm asking my own guidance system, which is my connection with my soul, with the universe, with God. I know I have it. We all have it. We're all born with it. And so I ask to receive while I'm sitting there quietly listening to someone. I'm also doing this. I will sometimes, not sometimes, frequently, I'll get just a knowing as a result of asking. I may not get it in that moment, but it comes while I'm sitting there, and suddenly I'll get a flash, a sense of, oh, ask about this. I don't know where it came from, except that I do because I asked. I will get pictures of suddenly something I need to interpret, you know, but something that'll quickly give me the ability to size up a situation. And it's sometimes like coming from left field, like, where did that come from? But when I ask, it is meaningful. So when I say I work intuitively, I ask for my own higher guidance, my connection with my soul. Some people feel we work with guides and teachers. I do, but set that aside. We have a higher guidance system. It's ours. And we may have many working with us, but it's still our own inner guidance. And I ask for that, and I receive, and I integrate that in my working with somebody, you know, by the way, have you noticed this, or, you know, have you considered this, or tell me about this, and then I'll start getting information that I might not have gotten had I not asked. After Touch by the Extraordinary was finished, I discovered that not only are we touched by extraordinary bits, we are so extraordinary because we are highly intuitive beings. And it suddenly, I remember I was giving this talk and I realized, my God, so much of what goes in this book is people listening to the reason they had miracles and their lives were saved because they listened to their intuition. And so I really felt it's important for people to learn how to harness their inner guidance, because it's easy to do and it's also fun and it leaves you smiling. It just makes me smile a lot. Touched by the Extraordinary was written because I would sit with my patients. I started out doing significant grief work and working with cancer patients. And so my patients, let's say who had died, and I'd be working with family members, and the family members would come in and say, Susan, I need to tell you this, but I can't tell anybody else because they'd never believe me. And then they would start sharing their beautiful stories about deceased loved ones and how they found communication going on. Or also stories of angels and synchronicities. But it began for me, the research of looking at my colleagues' work and seeing, well, what did they write about? Did they have these experiences? And so I began my own spiritual journey, which is of a higher vibrational experience, because when you start looking at work dealing with the possible connection with realizing your mind is much greater than that which you have in your body, suddenly you realize you're part of something larger. And so you have to grow spiritually. Your vibration, I knew I started to just energetically shift vibrationally. And, you know, in terms of the law of attraction, when you start to focus on that which is of a higher vibration, you start to attract into your life those vibrational experiences.
Very well said.
So I remember sitting in my intuitive wisdom class, developmental intuition class, and I remember I had just started, and suddenly I'm being told that I have around me, it's in the book, Touched by the Extraordinary, but I guess I had immediately started to attract that because I had shifted vibrationally to the possibility of possibilities. And suddenly I was being told that Rising Moon, and that was a name I didn't even know at the time, a young Indian girl was in my presence. And the universe kept giving me synchronicities within the next 2 weeks where others were validating without ever knowing that I'd had that experience in my intuition class. But I was getting more information on this young girl who evidently is a child of mine from another lifetime when I was an Indian. And so I was attracting that to me, but I didn't or hadn't until I opened up my heart to the possibility of possibilities. And that's all vibration.
How do we develop our intuition enough that we can start picking up the energy of loved ones who have passed?
You know, it sounds sort of like just another expression, but when you are ready, the teacher does appear. And so I feel strongly all of you who are listening are on a journey. You began that journey with an intent to grow during this lifetime. And so when you come into this lifetime, you come in, I feel, based on my research, with contracts with many people, many circumstances, and most of these are in your journey for you to experience, see, have challenges so that you will grow. That eventually takes you to the place where you begin to feel, and it comes often as a result of crisis, unfortunately, but it seems to be the way it goes. When we have these very difficult challenges, they force us to go to places we would not normally go because they're not comfortable, places where we pull back from the world, we sort of go inside ourselves, we often come from a place of despair or fear. It is that low energy. But it forces us very often to look at things that we wouldn't do otherwise. And so these are the places I find in my patients who come to me who are deeply grieving that the grief brings them to me, but it's really just the door opening for them to their higher selves. Because with that, and especially with an awareness that possibly their loved ones continue to be present for them in the form of loving energy, they begin to consider the possibility there may be more to life than what they can see, touch, or feel. And this is powerful in our learning to just consider, it's like opening the door a crack and allowing in a little bit of light and being okay with that light and then allowing in a little more light. And that's what happens. And so as we go through life, the journey takes us through difficult times that then cause us to open and expand and invite more opportunities for learning in. And that is how this comes to be. So when you are ready, and you will be ready at some point, it can be early in the journey, in the middle of the journey, or towards the end, then as all you need to do is just say, I am ready to know more, I want more, I'm hungry for more. And that's a vibration that the universe feels. You vibrate at a higher level when you get excited about the possibility of, my dad was just here. Well, what is the meaning of that? Maybe life does continue. Maybe there is more to life, and you get excited about that. And so vibrationally, you shift energetically, and now you're attracting that higher vibration, which is what is part of God or consciousness, to you. And that helps you to grow even more. And this is really how spirituality evolves within this journey of life.
How do you know what you're feeling is accurate? In other words, if you are thinking about an energy, a spirit around you, how do you know that that's just not your imagination?
One of the reasons that I wrote Touch by the Extraordinary is so that those people who might be ready to look for, quote-unquote, evidence that life goes on would have indications from people's stories, because I share so many stories in the book of others who've had that place where they've never believed and suddenly things are happening. Now, proof is an interesting word. What may be proof for me may not be proof for you. But that's okay. That's absolutely okay, because each of us is on such a unique journey. So I offer a variety of stories that people in my practice over 20-plus years have shared with me, plus so much research, plus my work that comes from energy work. And I have learned from people, they share with me, okay, I knew this was my daughter because, and then they go through, or my mother or my father because, and they give me indications. And these are these are called synchronicities. When events take place that look like coincidences, but they're so meaningful that in every cell of your being, intuitively, you know that they are much more than just a coincidence. And so, for example, while you are thinking about your deceased husband, the little musical cow that he gave you sitting on the windowsill starts to play music. And every time you're feeling sad and you're just sitting there thinking about him, it turns on. You do not turn it on. The same thing, your children come, they don't believe you, but while they're talking about dad, the little musical cow gets turned on. I had someone write that to me after the book came out. Another example, you're sitting there missing your spouse dearly, and suddenly the TV goes on, and it goes on to his favorite station, not yours, one that you don't like. You know, I had another woman share that with me, a patient. You're sitting in your home missing somebody dearly, and suddenly, just for maybe a few seconds, maybe no more than a minute, you smell their perfume or their cologne, or if they were cigarette smokers or cigar smokers and you're not, and there's none of that in the house, suddenly there is clearly the scent of any of those things taking place. You're sitting there, as it has happened many times in my office, talking about a loved one, and then the light starts to blink while you were talking about them, or something falls from the wall, a picture of them that's meaningful falls from the wall. I have another patient whose father had died. Every single time she would be thinking about him, a little feather would come down. Whether she was in France or New York or Pennsylvania, a little feather would come down. I've had a psychiatrist who interviewed me talk about how clearly she knew her father, and she had a penny connection, and she knew that when she found those pennies, which she found frequently after her father died, that it was her dad saying hi. These are the ways that people are given indications. Sometimes it's with animals. I have a new book coming out, and it's at the publisher's now. And one of my patients lost a little girl, and she was about 9. And I remember I powerfully had this child come through me. That's happened just a handful of times, but it's so powerful when it does. Very moving. And so she has shared, the mother has shared countless stories with me, just shared one yesterday, about how her daughter is letting her know she's present. And very often her daughter loved animals. She loved anything that was an animal, it was alive, insects, frogs, squirrels, birds. And there are a variety of stories where she calls it Alley Bird. This particular bird became one that followed them around originally in Georgia when she first died and when they moved to Pennsylvania. And she talks about right after she died how the whole family was seated in the bedroom, the toy room. And there were many toys, but one little talking dog started barking. And, you know, they didn't think anything of it at the time. They turned it off, and then the next talking animal started barking. And these were only turned on by voice mechanisms, and, of course, that wasn't happening. And then how that one dog followed an uncle who Allie loved, absolutely adored, and the uncle, he was a young man, got very upset about this because he didn't know how to handle it. And he moved to another corner of the room, and the dog turned around and went right back to him. You know, these are the ways that energy, your loved ones, all of those who are maybe listening to this, are pure energy. We're pure energy, but they no longer have a body. My work is based on quantum physics, which says everything is energy and vibrates. And it also says mind is non-local, meaning my mind can connect with your mind. And they also talk about the fact that everything vibrates. And since I know love is the highest of energies, I share this with my patients, if you have a loving relationship with someone, they're not going to let that love go unanswered. They know you're in pain. They're going to energetically, lovingly give you ways that they can pull off that will let you know they're present. And it's a function of love. And so Allie was letting her uncle know how much she loved him by just sort of following him around. And she lets her family know in many ways, too, because it's pure love.
My mother, who was always quite humorous, loves to pull a fast one on us all the time. She will ring the doorbell, and I'm always getting up and going to see who's at the door, but there's nobody there. And it happens about 2 or 3 times a month. But I always know it's Mom saying, I'm here.
I would be so overjoyed, you know, if I had that happening to me, because I would say, oh, Mom, it's just so nice to know you're there. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a year, 5 years, or 10 years. It always feels good when they give you that indication they're right there. There is no, quantum physics tells us, and I know you know this, but there is no time. So if you know that everything is energy, and you know that mind doesn't have to have a body, and you know there is no time, it helps to give you a paradigm. It helps to give you the ability to understand how loved ones can continue to be an energy that vibrates at a higher level that comes to us when we're vibrating at a lower level. It's not like attracts like. It's the attraction of loving energy to somebody who's in pain.
Does the lower vibrational scale or the heavy-duty emotions, say, with grief, actually prevent you from feeling the presence of another energy?
Absolutely. I really do feel that, Joel. I agree with you. My work is helping people. The way you can heal and the way you can connect with your higher guidance, which is also going to give you the ability to connect with your deceased loved ones or whatever energy, angelic energy, master energy, God energy. You want to be able to do the work. That's why breath is important, of breathing deeply. And you breathe in this wonderful, peaceful energy on the in-breath, and you breathe out on the out-breath. You bring up all the tension and pain. And eventually, you give yourself the permission to clear what it is you need. Now, some of us know we're carrying around tremendous pain of loss. We're focused only on loss, or we're focused on anger. We feel angry they've left. And so we have a myriad of emotions that are low vibrational emotions. And so grief is such a dense low emotion in itself. It's an experience, actually, of low emotions. And so what you want to do is be able to shift to a place where you can be more likely to feel them. Practice the breath on a daily basis. I mean, I teach this to my patients in a variety of ways. And I want every one of you to know it doesn't take much. Just get into the habit of taking a few deep breaths first and just make sure you breathe in, visualize healing, peaceful, give it a color, energy coming in, fill in your cells, breathe out all of the pain, bring it up from your tummy and breathe out through your mouth all the angst or toxic or dark energy. But if you can just learn to make it a habit throughout the day, breathing in and out, you can begin to just lighten up so you can vibrate, shift energetically to a higher level of vibration, which does help you feel the presence of anyone or anything around you that is trying to communicate with you.
You mentioned in your book about the 9/11 and working with the widows and the people who were left behind. And recently, we have felt the incredible loss from the Haiti earthquake. Now, is there a common theme, and does it affect the world, or what can we learn from all of this?
When 9/11 happened, it's funny because before this, you know, before you called, I actually was just writing about this. When 9/11 took place, I, as a psychologist who specializes in grief, oncology, and trauma, my concern was that everybody watching television was experiencing the scenes were being played over and over. So we were being traumatized by what was happening. We were feeling as though that was happening to us. Research shows that you can become traumatized by watching somebody else who is being traumatized. And that was a huge concern I had for this nation. We were grieving for these people. We felt their pain, and we felt also as though on some level we were going through it, and there was also the fear, could it happen to us? So psychologically, we were left with the same loss of control, the same sense of being ungrounded. How could such a terrible thing happen? We were experiencing, some of us, some of the symptoms of trauma as well. When the events in Haiti took place, and they were showing on CNN and all of the shows, the horror of what was happening as soon as it happened. This is how this works, and this is a good thing that you've asked, because without realizing it, that's the problem, we sort of don't realize what's happening. We were watching scenes that were terrifying, that aroused in us feelings of fear that have been aroused in other times in our life that we've stored away. And any time you are experiencing something that's very upsetting, it's like a thread is attached to it, and it goes, and grief too. It goes all the way back to other times you've had the same vibrational experience. So we then were imagining or remembering other times when we were frightened. People in this country who have experienced earthquakes were particularly were impacted by this. But anybody who has lost a parent or a child, that's why you would see lots and lots of stories about babies and orphans and people without limbs and people needing to get to doctors, we could all identify with that. It touched nerve cords for every one of us that has ever been in a terrible accident or left feeling helpless or even hopeless. And it brought up all of the fears. So all of us have been experiencing this and identifying with it. Along with that comes an awareness that it's not us, that we actually are in a safe place at the moment, and we are needing to remember how to ground ourselves and take care of ourselves. And then it allows for us to go to the next stage of what can I do to give to these people. Because we all know what it's like to be in that situation or to imagine it, we come from love. We have an opportunity to be caring, loving, and compassionate, which is a high vibrational experience. So we shift then from the seeing of the trauma, which causes terror in some of us and pain, very low vibrational experiences. But because we are not in that situation, we then go down into our souls, and these experiences, 9/11 and Haiti, are giving us opportunities to remember what Einstein said. Because we're pure energy, we're not only distinct templates of energy, we have the capacity to merge with one another. And what he said is, therefore, we are thy brother's keeper. We must be compassionate. We must be loving. So we shift energetically, little by choosing acts of compassion, we start shifting to a higher level. And that's one of the ways that we help ourselves and we can help one another.
So what you're talking about is collective consciousness and the vibrations again. If we are feeling compassion and love and peace, and we're sending really high energy levels to Haiti, then that will, in effect, help that area survive and rebuild. On the other hand, if we're sending it fear because we have fear about what just happened and we're feeling powerless, then in fact we are sending those emotions and hurting the situation more.
No, you are totally on target. That is the heart of my work. As a psychologist, what I want everybody to know is that the only way healing can take place, and healing means feeling better. It means just finding a place of balance and wholeness. And every one of us needs that in our life. So for individuals and for the planet, the best thing we can do is to choose love. And opportunities to choose love come out of crises like Haiti and 9/11, tsunamis, Katrina. These provide us with the challenge, how do I rise to the occasion where I can be love, give from love, create love? It is a consciousness that is for all of us. It's a collective consciousness.
So it's not always necessary that we have to go and be physically present to help a situation.
Nope. I was just writing that one of the things that we can do, in fact, it's the primary thing I feel we can do, is, again, using your breath, take several deep breaths, and in the breathing deeply, you create a stillness. And in the stillness, you begin to feel a shift and you feel so much more at peace. Then go to your heart. In your mind's eye, fill your heart with love. It's a really high vibrational healing energy. Fill your heart, feel the love overflowing in your body. And with intention, the intention of love, send it to whomever you want, the children in Haiti and the orphanages if you want, the babies, the adults. How about to the souls who have been buried without dignity, to the entire country, if you wish. Send it to them with your heart filled with love. Visualize them being wrapped in blankets of love. Visualize your energy infusing every cell of their being. As you spend time doing this, and do it frequently during the day, you actually are, in conjunction with everyone else doing this, synergistically creating an incredible energy that can contribute to the healing of this nation and the people, and at the same time, you do it for yourself.
Your book talks about so many different things, such as angels, life after death, the act of dying, near-death experiences. Is there a common thread that runs through all of these experiences?
That's a tough one, because if you look at the research, you know, we know 2/3 of the population have experienced angels, and believe their prayers are answered. It's close to that. And we also know that at least half, if not more, have experienced some form of communication with a deceased loved one. So it's a tough one, because the bottom line is that the stories in the book all have a common theme, and that theme is that whoever you think you are, you're much greater than that. You're part of something exquisitely beautiful and loving. And so what you call your angels, or you call your deceased mom and dad, or you call masters or archangels, they're a part of the same loving energy. And all the universe wants is for you to know who you are, that you are love. And when you recognize the truth of that, you feel joy inside. There is a real peace. And when you do that, you experience more happenings that allow this to be validated for you, you know, those synchronicities. So that's what I was getting at before when we started. Just by deciding you want, because you feel this hunger that's growing inside of you, and you feel like, well, I want to know more about that. And so you will be given more, because vibrationally you have, out of excitement and desire and passion, raised yourself up. So now you may find yourself experiencing angelic presence. You need an angel, you sit and you say, angels, please help me, and bingo, you get evidence that it's there. One of the stories in the new book, which followed after the first book was published, okay. I was working on finishing it at the time. And the new book, Touched by the Extraordinary Book 2, will come out, and it has this story in it that happened at that time. But my point is that when you begin to open up to all of these possibilities, you have raised yourself energetically, the more these events start to happen. And so these events can be called connections with angels, connections with your deceased loved ones, but you see, because you vibrate at a higher level, you're more conscious and aware of the presence. And they want you to be aware of their presence as well. So in that story, that event was that my home started flooding because my washing machine was broken. And I came downstairs, and I found my first floor, and I found my basement flooded, and I was the only one in the house. So for at least an hour or two, I just ran around with doing everything I could, but it used me up. And I remember going upstairs, sitting on the edge of the bed and crying in tears, and I said, I had no more energy. And I said, angels, just please help me. I swear to you that I no longer got those words out, and the phone rang. And my husband said, there's somebody at your office who insists on you being there. And I had already called and said there was no way I could go to the office. And so I went 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away. I went, and there was a gal. She had in one hand a basket filled with daffodils and soup and a sandwich for me. And in the other, she had a huge wrapped package. And she had these words to say, Susan, just remember, there are other people who are going through much worse. And I thanked her. I knew what she was there for. I knew who sent her. I thanked her. I walked inside. I said goodbye to her. I walked inside. It's funny because her picture just this very minute came up on my computer while I'm talking to you. Talk about synchronicities. So I walked inside, put the package down on the floor, and before I left, I thought, I just want to open it. And I saw the most incredible wood, it's a world-renowned person who did this, wood-carved angel. So I went home. I put the basket on the kitchen table. Everything changed. Within an hour, I had insurance people to my home. They brought fans. I was feeling calmer, and I would walk by the kitchen table. I would look at these daffodils. I felt reborn, just like they represent, and I would have soup and sandwich and sustain me, and I knew my angels had heard me. I have never forgotten that, and I've had other experiences where I write about it in the new book as well. But, yes, all you need to do is ask and know that they are hearing you. You're not alone, because you're part of something so much greater. And that makes you beautiful as well. And they want to assist you. They, meaning universal energy, just wants to love you and give you what you want. And if you're open vibrationally, if you're vibrating at a higher level by just allowing yourself to focus on thoughts and possibilities of all that is possible, it will come back to you. That's the law of attraction. And so angels are a part of my life. That's why you and I talk. I know that.
Absolutely. What I heard you say, which needs to be said time and time again, is that if we're not getting our desires. We're sending off those rocket of desires out to the universe. We're asking our angels. We're asking the masters. We're doing everything we possibly can. But if we are not concentrating on raising our vibration, then we're not matching our desire that we're seeking. So we've got to raise that vibration to be higher, and that's the bottom line. Right?
Yeah, that's a very good point because, again, so many people, I've spoken a number of times, and people say, well, you know, I'm praying, but I'm not getting answers. And I don't understand, you know. And so that was excellent because when you are in that state where there's something you desperately want, first of all, if you desperately want something and that's where you're coming from, if you're asking from a place of desperation, energetically, you're not where you would like to be to get what you need. In other words, you know what you want, but you have such a strong motivation of from lack, and a lack of something is a very low vibration. So I encourage you, if there's something you would love, then give yourself permission to sit, calm yourself down with several deep breaths, just create some stillness, and start taking a few minutes of dedicating it. Put some nice music on that you love, quiet music, and just start visualizing what it is that you would like. And be in that place, in the moment. Make the future the present moment. Get excited. Be passionate about it. And if you wish, then offer your prayers from that place of excitement, passion, love, and gratitude. Because in that place, it's more likely that you will be heard. In addition, what Jules is saying is also important because it's what we talked about before. So many of us do not realize that we carry within ourselves, remember, they're very wise, and they store everything that we've ever experienced. So if we've been angry at somebody, we're deeply pained or resentful, and we haven't forgiven them because forgiveness, as many of you already know from listening to the show and others, is a key part of healing. There's something going on. Your cells are attached to something. They're looking to be freed. So give yourself permission to do some introspective work, either writing, journaling, talking to somebody where you get in touch with somebody or something you've sort of kept inside of you and you really know, this isn't helping me. I need to find a way to forgive them and forgive myself and move on. And you will find in the process, you will start to shift from a low energy to a higher energy, and it will contribute to being more open and receiving the kinds of answers you're looking for. I know that for me to be fully present, I need to be totally in this second, in this moment, and it serves me best if I focus on, think about, imagine, just I live in a state of joy on a moment-to-moment basis. That is really, anybody who knows me knows that's what my intent is. I may mess up at times, and clearly I do when I get anxious or whatever, but I quickly look to rebalance. If I start worrying about possibilities of destruction, if you look at it from a negative perspective, that will not do me any good in the moment. You know, it'll take me out of my moment, and I want my moment to be full of joy and all that is. I do know, as I feel you probably do, and many of you who are listening, we create the future in the present. And if I'm fully joyful and helping, I hope, that is my intent, by me being fully me in a most loving, dedicated way, then I'm hoping I can create or help others be fully them, themselves. That means come from joy and peace, not from competition, not from fear. Everything I'm talking about is the opposite of fear. So from my perspective, whatever is going to happen will happen. I don't know one way or the other what it will. I feel so strongly about the power of love. I don't know whether or not we can create a shift that is universal, but my intent is to bring love to this world and to help others find this love. And as one finds it and they give it to others, and others will give it to others, and in that way, I feel that the possibility exists of a shift. And for me, that would be lovely. But if it's not meant to be, I'm not going to focus on it. I feel everything is possible. I just do. And with love, I know everything is possible. I've seen it in action. One of the stories in the book is the story of Amber, my dog, who had cancer. And I started studying healing. And I studied very seriously. And by choosing love and coming from love and practicing love, Amber's cancer disappeared. That was, for me, the beginning of knowing the power of love as a healing force. But love is what we're here for.
If love is what we're here for, then are we perhaps creating these major crises in the world so that we can experience this outpouring of love?
That, and there will be, unfortunately, there will be more crises. Haiti is about, can we do what we need to do, which is exactly what we're doing, coming from love.
Yes, shifting our consciousness to be that of love. Interesting. We've only got a few minutes left, so let's talk a little bit more about your wonderful book.
Well, a lot of people wonder whether or not prayer really works. And one of the things that I engaged in, because it just seemed to be a natural part of the journey, was the research on prayer. And there's exquisite research done on this. And so as a result, that was what I was just writing about before you called, that we do need to offer the energy of prayer. But if you question whether or not your prayers are heard, then I really do encourage you to take a look at some of the stories in the book. Because not only do I present the research, there are some wonderful stories that reveal how closely your loved ones are right there with you when you pray. For example, and this was a significant experience for me, and I include in the book, when my father-in-law died, in Judaism, we have yahrzeit. We have prayers that you say on the anniversary of death. And I remember that my husband and I were praying, and we finished, and he walked away, and I just said, I love you, Dad, and I walked back to the kitchen sink. The next day, I was with my friend, who's highly intuitive, and she said, Susan, there's somebody here. And she started describing him. My father was a very good-looking man, and she described him, and he says, oh, his name begins with an H, and I said, Herb, that's who it is. And she said, well, he wants you to know that, oh, she said to me, you were praying last night? Now, I had told her nothing. In fact, I had just sat down with her. And I said nothing other than, hello, how you doing? She said, were you praying last night? I said, yeah, we were, for him, actually. And so then she said, well, he's telling me that he's worried about your son. Is he going to have shoulder surgery? And I said, yep, tomorrow, actually. And again, she didn't know any of that. And he said, well, he's worried about him, but it'll go well. And then the most magical words. She said, he wants to thank you for the prayers you offered for him. That just meant so much to him. And I tell people this. I've had other stories that are included. Your prayers are heard. Pray for those in Haiti because your prayers are heard. Pray for your deceased loved ones or for somebody you don't know who's in a car accident. I always pray when I see a car accident. It's another story in the book. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who is a mentor of mine, had written about this. And just going down the highway one day, there was a gal that had to stop in traffic, and she knew it because somebody had been in a terrible car accident. So she began praying for this person she did not know. The gentleman in the car had actually died, left his body, and traveled on down the line of cars and heard her prayers. As a result of her prayers, he returned to the car, was taken to the hospital, but he remembered her license plate. And when he got out of the hospital, he went to buy flowers, and he went to her door. And there he was, and she opened the door, and he just said, I want to thank you for your prayers. And that's because that was an out-of-body experience. He had left his body. He was aware of what she was saying. The prayers did make a difference. And he was extremely grateful. These are just two tiny examples. There's so many. Just know that you're a part of a greater consciousness. There isn't a thought you have that isn't known to anybody and everybody and everything that's in consciousness, that is out of a body. I always tell people, go to a funeral. Be careful what you think. Everything that you're thinking is known to spirit. Whoever you're going for is totally aware of this. So think loving thoughts. But we're part of something greater, and it's wonderful.
I think that's the first time I've heard that. Be careful what you think at funerals. It makes sense, but I've never thought about it.
I really feel strongly about that.
And that's the perfect place to end our show on. If you'd like to get a copy of the book Touched by the Extraordinary, go to touchedbytheextraordinary.com. You can also find Susan on Facebook and tweet her as well. Thanks so much for coming on today, Susan. I really loved it.
Thank you so much. I think you do very good work, by the way. You're raising the consciousness level. I know that's your intention. But you really are doing good work. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And to all the wonderful listeners, we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.